Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Here. Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah, okay. This is the Hagman and the Hagman Report for today. I want to thank everyone for joining us, for your belief and your trust in us. You know, we broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much, Todd, for all that you do. Thank you, Global Star Radio Network, for carrying our show, for taking the flack, taking the heat, all of the technical nuances that they've got to put up with. My goodness, what a great guy. What a great station to be affiliated with, and what a great network to be affiliated with. Very proud to be a part of the Global Star Radio Network that also hosts Health Masters, Ted and Austin Brower show, and other programs, including Dave Hodges. But I'm going to mention something specific, folks. After our show tonight, I would ask everyone to continue listening to the Global Star Radio Network. You've got to hear Health Masters show, or Ted and Austin Brower show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you remember that? Do you recall the show about the blood of Jesus? Right? Do you remember that show that we did? Well, it was, I think it was maybe a 2-hour show. Or it was, Ted had dedicated perhaps 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half, to the blood of Jesus and the power of the blood, the power in the blood, the DNA, the technology that proved the Bible. I mean, I shouldn't say it proved. Science and the Bible are compatible, but Ted went in to explain about the blood of Jesus. Now, if you heard that program, I spoke to Ted Brower today. He spent quite a long time refining that program, taking out any extraneous material, honing in on the very important, precise parts of that episode that we did together. It was millions of downloads on that show alone. Following our broadcast tonight, Ted Brower is going to play the recorded version, after our show. Or Global Star is, that is. So if you stay with Global Star, you'll hear that show, the hour refined product, after our show. I listened to it. It's perhaps one of the most important programs I think Ted and Austin have ever done. So there's an absolute hat tip to Ted and his son. But also, if you really want to get the full effect and full understanding of why the blood is so important, which also gives you a window into why it's important for the spirit cooking bodily fluid blood machinations of the Satanists. So, right after Hagman Report, right after the Hagman and Hagman Report, just go to, or may stay on Global Star Radio Network, or go to healthmasters.com, click on the link directly to the Global Star Radio Network link, and make sure you select tonight's episode. But it's very important. And I was speaking with Ted today about that. And don't forget, folks, the sales, I think it's Doug5, the coupon code. You can email Dr. Ted Brower. You can email Health Masters. Make sure of the coupon code for the sales he's having for Christmas. The Health Masters supports the Hagman Report. It's a fantastic product. I will not purchase any nutritional supplements anywhere except Health Masters. That's just my personal preference, because I've seen the difference between the products, and I can feel the difference between the products. No. And I don't care. I don't care who sells what, when, where out there in the market. I have, and I've taken so many different kinds of supplements. These are the only ones I believe that work. And that's my, from my experience. And folks, of course, you know we're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, BTR, and you can watch us live right here on YouTube. Now, we had a little bit of a kerfuffle right before the program. We have tonight, of course, Tara. Tara from the UK is going to be on with us at the bottom of the hour. She, of course, is behind realitycalls.co. That's realitycalls.co. You know her videos widely spread across YouTube. She was, of course, was the victim of YouTube censorship of late. Got a strike for reporting on Pizzagate. And this is happening more and more and more. We are being censored. And then following that, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. Now listen to this. Dr. Pry served as the professional staff on the House Armed Services Committee of the U.S. Congress. Portfolios in nuclear strategy, weapons of mass destruction, Russia, China, NATO, the Middle East, and so on. He was an intelligence officer with the CIA. He was responsible for analyzing Soviet and Russian nuclear strategy. This guy has written numerous books on national security issues. He's been on all the major television networks. As a matter of fact, he's got a certificate. I've got it right here. And you don't have to really see this, but here is a certificate from the CIA that not only provides or substantiates his bona fides, but also it's a recognition certificate for his work in like EMP work. So that's the kind of lineup we have for you today. Just understand that we're bringing you, I think, through the efforts of John Robertson. And I want to thank you, John, and others in supportive capacity. We're bringing you the best of the best of the best to give you the information that you need to know. And nothing above, nothing like fake news. No fake news out here, or at least not with us. And I really appreciate the efforts of John Robertson. I appreciate the efforts of JD and all the support staff, and certainly Eric the Tech, who last I saw, he was running from the studio screaming and yanking portions of his hair out and sputtering expletives as he was leaving. We had to hide the weapons. It was that bad. Long story. Portions of Nice Broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks, omahasteaks.com, search bar HH. Folks, it's getting time. If you haven't ordered your family value or your family pack from Omaha Steaks, do so. They've got such a great product and such great, that's a great value. OmahaSteaks.com, especially for the Hagman and Hagman Report. I asked them if they could please give us, our listeners, a special package. They did. Go to OmahaSteaks.com in the search bar. HH. More on that later. Joe, it's been a day.
Yeah, it has. Been a long day. I was mentioning to Eric earlier that today, for me at least, it's dragging a lot, especially the second half of the day. But the whole day's been long. But we're here. We're ready to go. We got a great program lined up, and
yeah, we do.
It is Friday.
You know,
and sometimes things move a lot slower on Friday.
You think?
Sometimes they do. Usually it's quicker. But when it's not quicker, it's always slower instead of just, you know, at a normal pace. So, but slow is good sometimes.
You know, if I can share this with the audience.
Catch up on things that you haven't done and get time to look into things and do things that you didn't have a chance to do during the rest of the week. So, it's okay.
We have a weird, well, our job is weird. We love what we do.
Very much.
I was chewing a mint there. And,
I was wondering.
Yeah, I was choking on a mint, so I swallowed it. And, But we love what we do, and we do, we put everything into, I mean, we put our hearts and our souls into what we do, I believe. We've got so much research that over the course of the past several weeks, we have boxes upon boxes of papers relating to Pizzagate. And I say boxes, I'm talking about the hard copy captures of hard copies of video captures from Tumblr accounts, from Twitter accounts, from Instagram accounts. The originals. Now, I'm not talking about what was reposted, but the originals as they were cited by members of the citizen journalist community. So we've got those, and we are putting together as best as we can this cohesive and coherent investigative report that I'd like to think that with all of the guests that we've had and all of the research that we've done collectively in vetting the information for accuracy and then moving away from the speculative or the unconfirmed, but just taking all of the documentation and putting it together like we would as a presentation, as an investigative body, to present to a police force or to even to a jury if we would go that step above. I think that you will see that the Pizzagate, which we don't like the name, no one likes the name, the Pedogate is tied very closely to the FBI/NYPD. Just to go over this again, this is to tell you why this is so critical, that the pedophilia and the satanic ritual abuse is the driver. Joe, you know this. It's the satanic worship among the global elite and the power players in Washington is the driving motivation. It's not prayer to God of the Bible. It's prayer to Baal, Moloch, Lucifer. It is that prayer that is driving policy inside Washington and all throughout the Western cultures of government. Now, think about this. So you've got this group of globalists, and that includes billionaires, businessmen, and women who are extremely wealthy and have the power and influence. Well, you've got this club. It's loosely knit, but it's nonetheless a club.
Club, a cult, a religion.
Yeah.
You know, if you will.
Yep. Yep. And so they're all worshiping the god, the small g god, Lucifer, the devil, satanic ritual, whatever.
And this is nothing new, because when you look back at what was uncovered even before Pizzagate in the arena of politics and big business and the heads of state and businesses and the private industry here in the U.S. and across the globe, you have these different, you know, Skull and Bones. You have the Bohemian Grove where they do mock human sacrifice and, yes, and worship Moloch. And you have these, you have a number, I mean, the Freemasonry. So you have these cults and they have religious innuendos and satanic worship involved. And this is nothing new. This has been exposed for the last 15, 20 years. More so in the last 10 years, about what these people in power actually do. And then we come up through the 8 years of the Obama administration. After Obama was elected, a lot more people became aware to what was going on. And then you have Bilderberg, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, these other groups of people of political power,
yep,
who meet in its international organizations. And then you have like the Catholic Church and that whole web of power in the Vatican and the influence they wield in the sphere of politics, and all their history dealing, yep, with pedophilia and child sex trafficking rings, that's been well documented. And now you have some exposure, and this is one thing, you know, we talked about, why is this fake news narrative and the censorship we see becoming so prevalent right now? right after the election ended, between, you know, the end of November, November 8th until today, about a month and a day, we've seen this just huge push. And I want to read something on the phrase fake news from a report from The Intercept today, because they sum this whole thing up really nicely in one paragraph. The phrase fake news has exploded in usage since the election, but the term is similar to other political labels such as terrorism and hate speech because the phrase lacks clear definition. It is essentially useless except as an instrument of propaganda and censorship. The most important fact to realize about this new term, those who most loudly denounce fake news are typically those most aggressively disseminating it. And then they go to cite different examples of, and this article is titled Fake News That MSNBC Personalities Spread to Discredit WikiLeaks Documents. And it's a long article, it's a good article, and I would urge people to read it. And they give examples of how the Democratic Party and the news media picked up on a Hillary Clinton's supporter fake transcript of a Goldman Sachs speech, and they used that to try to discredit the WikiLeaks information,
yep,
claiming that it was falsified and the emails were not really from Hillary Clinton. But this all goes back to, and they expose this in the article, how the media outlets and the Hillary Clinton campaign disseminated this fake news by saying, you know, this was part of the WikiLeaks emails, when it never was part of the WikiLeaks emails. This was an independent, anonymous Twitter account user who was a vehement supporter of Hillary Clinton called The Omnivore, that was his account, and posted a fake transcript supporting Hillary, purporting to be Hillary Clinton's speech to Goldman Sachs, even though the fake document was never published by WikiLeaks. And that was the entire basis for the MSNBC-inspired claim that some of the WikiLeaks documents were doctored. So, this is a good example of, you know, these people running the fake news narrative. But one thing, I don't know if you saw this today, Dad, we didn't have a chance to talk about this. The New York Times ran a story today also. Foes of Russia say child pornography is planted to ruin them. And this gives an example of somebody's...
There could very well be that could be the case, but go on.
Yeah, and we know that's happened in the past, you know, one image planted here, and we've seen that before. But what this article is doing, it's what they say that is Russia is doing, and they even say that this happened to the DNC, is that they say the Russian, you know, propagandists and cybersecurity hackers came in and planted child pornography on, in the article they use an example of this former Russian agent who came over here and fought the KGB, and they said that this happened to him, and they also say in this article that this happened to the DNC. And they say today, however, this has become allied with more sophisticated tricks of cyber mischief making, where Russia has proved its prowess in the Baltic states, Georgia, Ukraine, and according to American intelligence, in the computers of the Democratic National Committee, saying that Russian cyber warriors serve a multitude of goals, including espionage and disruption of critical vital infrastructure. And they also say that they're trying to shape public opinion through the spread of false information and by committing cyber attacks, planting child pornography on foes or enemy computers. I think this is laying the groundwork for the plausible deniability and the excuse of why this is there. Now, one thing, I don't know if we'll ever see this in the media, in the mainstream media, but it's one thing to have, you know, this example gives, and you have to read the article, goes on to talk about a former Russian defector who fought the KGB, who fought Putin,
right,
and is a tireless opponent of the Soviet Union, and they say that, he says that one day the door knocked and cops busted in, took his computers, and they charged him. They said there were 5 pictures on his computer, which he was sick, apparently, and had some kind of heart condition, and it couldn't have been him. So they're saying this was Russia. Cyber hackers came in and planted this because he was an enemy of Russia. But one thing would be interesting to see, I mean, because they're trying to claim that the Democratic National Committee was a victim of this, is how much and how far widespread computers were infiltrated. But I don't think we'll ever get to the truth of that.
I just want to say the more I get involved in the investigation of the DNC, Elizabeth Warren, the people within the DNC, Keith Ellison, who could very well take over the DNC.
There's some news on him, too.
Yeah, I just want to say that the more I look into this, the more I realize what a communist infiltrated group this is, and what a perverse group this is. Go ahead with what you're going to say.
If this is them trying to lay the groundwork for a defense or an excuse, two charges of child pornography on their computer, I just don't know that it would be one to five images that is on these DNC computers. I bet it's a lot more extensive than that, but that's when I don't think we'll ever get to the
fact of the matter. We worked the child porn case in upstate New York. I'm talking about those familiar with the Adirondacks. East of Watertown, New York, up there and the Canadian border, we worked a child pornography case up there, or a case that we stumbled upon, this child porn ring, and this one guy had 11,000 images on his computer. You're not going to find one or two. And every single part of that ring, that child porn ring, in fact, the guy's still in jail for this, but and he was, trust me when I tell you, he was really, yeah. I'm not winging it. Never mind.
But this article goes on to say, getting someone labeled as a suspected pedophile has the added benefit of fitting perfectly with the Kremlin's lie that human rights activists are all just degenerates. But this article speaks a lot further to what we see here, trying to create deniability as to why this would be found on Democratic National Committee or others' computers by laying down this lie that all Russian hackers did it. And one thing we saw today was Obama took steps, some interesting steps, and it'll be, we have to keep our eyes open to see where this goes. Obama orders review into Russian hacking of 2016 election.
Told you. This is all about delegitimizing the election and the ascendancy and presidency of Trump.
And they try to sugarcoat over this by saying, well, you know, they're going to go back to before 2008. And create a comprehensive report of how Russia affected the elections in 2008, in 2012, and 2016. But it's obvious they're just looking at 2016. But the president has directed the intelligence community to conduct a full review of what happened during the 2016 election process. It is to capture lessons learned from that and to report to a range of stakeholders. That was from a statement released by the White House Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor Lisa Monaco. To the Christian Science Monitor, and then they go on to say, this is consistent with the work that we did over the summer to engage Congress on the threats that we were seeing. White House spokesman Eric Schultz added later that the review would encompass malicious cyber activity related to U.S. elections going back to 2008. And the administration, Monaco said, the administration would be mindful of the consequences of revealing the results of their review publicly. And Schultz said that they would make it public as much as we can. All of the Democratic senators on the Senate Intelligence Committee have called Obama to declassify intelligence on Russian actions during the election.
They want a war. They're fixing the way. What they want to do again is delegitimize the victory of Donald Trump. Say that the elections were rigged via the Russian influence,
mm-hmm. and the fake news.
The fake news. That's right. Which, and all of this comes together, is coming together right now. If, ladies and gentlemen, we have in the past talked about the imminence of something happening, whether it be one or a number of things, any number of things. Right now, I do believe that what we're seeing is a culmination of the groundwork is being laid for some sort of event or series of events that will change how we operate in our daily lives.
Yeah, and what a headache this is all is. Trump even made a statement today. We have exposed the credibility of the press. President-elect Trump credited his supporters with revealing the dishonesty of the media Friday. At the Dow Chemical Hangar in Baton Rouge. The one thing we have done, we have exposed the credibility of the press, Trump said. They have the lowest credibility of anybody, he added. And this is not anything secret. We've known how Trump's felt about the media due to their bias against him during this last election cycle. And this article says that Trump's attack on the media have intensified in the days since his upset victory stunned most members of the political press corps, and have created a sense of mutual distrust between the president-elect and many of his left-leaning reporters that cover him. And this be interesting to see because, you know, we have that Intelligence Authorization Act that in it talks about the labeling the propaganda or labeling news sites or alternative news sites as Russian propaganda has made it through the House. And Dave Hodges talked about this last night. I think it's 6393, H.R. 6393. And apparently the Senate has passed it through too. I have not seen that vote. I've just seen talk about that. But in the next segment, and we're coming up against the break, we're going to be digging deeper into this Pizzagate. And one thing that they're doing with all this fake news stories, trying to distract from the influence that the real corruption that was the Clinton campaign and the media coordination and the crimes of both the Clinton and
this
the
book,
Obama.
Joe, this book, and folks, look, we don't sell books here except mine, but this book here, Guilty as Sin by Edward Klein. If you have not read this, it's a quick read in my view. I mean, I got this Monday or Tuesday, and I'm done with it. This tells you about everything Joe was talking about. This is an unbelievable read. Ed Klein does a great job.
Yeah, and he's done Hannity and a number of other shows. And I don't know, Dad, if you heard this. The Clinton campaign called MSNBC and wanted Mika Brzezinski pulled off the air when she said that Hillary was, it's possible she could lose. And she talked about that today on her show, The Morning Joe.
I can't think of anybody better, just Mika Brzezinski, right?
And there's a YouTube video. Morning Joe. She explains what happens.
Lori Klusertis.
When we come back from the break, Tara from RealityCalls.co, and she's in London, will be joining us to talk about Pizzagate for the next segment. Stay with us.
I don't even know what I'm doing. Turn my own mic off. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and the Hagman Report, where it's early here and it's late or early in the morning in London, United Kingdom. We are so delighted to have with us a young lady that we've been watching. Her videos are just incredible. If you're familiar with realitycalls.co, well, this Tara is behind realitycalls.co, and she's done some amazing work on uncovering the nuances of Pizzagate, what's known as Pizzagate. We have live via Skype. Just imagine, 20 years ago, no one imagined doing it this way. Via Skype video, Tara from realitycalls.co. We're so just pleased and excited to have her and introduce her to our audience. You know Tara. You know her work anyway. At any rate, I'm going to shut up now. But Tara, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. It's so great to have you.
Thank you for having me on. I'm really glad you guys have been covering this topic extensively because it's so important. And, of course, the mainstream media won't do this, so someone's got to.
Absolutely right.
Tara, how did you get into this, covering Pizzagate specifically? What prompted you to get into this line of investigative inquiry?
Yes, so for the whole of 2016 and even before that, 2015, I've been aware of Hillary Clinton running for president, and I just saw it as a disaster waiting to happen. You know, she wants to start World War III, basically, it appears. So I really tried my best to help Trump get elected, and one of the things that I was doing was I was just independently going through all of the WikiLeaks emails I could get through every time they came out, and they were coming out like by the tens of thousands, you know, every other day or whatever leading up to the election. So when I started seeing certain very odd emails, I started, you know, tweeting about them and also looking at other people's tweets. Regarding like we did like hashtag Podesta emails, and these strange emails started coming up. Of course, we were all looking for dirt on the Clinton Foundation. We were looking for this kind of normal type of corruption and money laundering and all that kind of stuff. And what we were finding was just these weird cryptic emails that we didn't quite understand. So we put it on the back burner. And then, of course, we came across the email from Marina Abramovich. And having done some research into her, it became evident that she's basically what most of us would consider to be a satanic witch, and that Hillary's head of campaign was going to dinner with her, a spirit cooking dinner, which, and if people don't know already, spirit cooking is basically satanic ritual. So it all went downhill from that. And I just started publishing. I said to my friend, Black Pigeon Speaks, I said, like, we have to get the stuff about spirit cooking out, because no Christian is going to vote for this woman if they know, like, what her head of campaign is up to.
Exactly.
You're right.
Yeah. So, I just really quickly put together this video, and he put it on his channel, and I reposted it to my channel, because he had a lot bigger channel than I did. So we just wanted to get it out there as fast as possible. And, you know, it got over 100,000 views, and a lot of people were like, okay, not voting for Hillary. So it was somewhat of a success. And, but then, of course, we started seeing, oh, wait a minute, Satanism, and then these code words. People from the dark web are telling us that this is basically the same type of code that pedophiles use to talk about children. So then it became more and more disturbing. And, you know, a couple of people theorized maybe this is about drugs, you know, but we couldn't quite find a code that would fit with that. So the only thing that would really fit was child trafficking. And there were quite a few other emails that weren't even coded, just blatant, like,
right,
you know, these children will be in the pool for your entertainment, which really disturbed a lot of people. And when I shared those emails with people who didn't even know about the topic, you know, they were just, kind of like innately disturbed about the topic, even though they didn't know the context. So I knew that we were onto something, and I just started publishing the evidence, because I was like, not most of the public are not going to go through all these forums and, you know, dig up all the evidence and look through it for themselves. So I've got to present it to people in a way that they can easily watch and understand. So I just started making like 10, 20 minute videos. And they've had hundreds of thousands of views. And now what's happened is that YouTube has given me a strike against one of the videos, which was, just going through James Alefantis' Instagram account.
Yes.
His public, yeah.
I'm sorry, Terry. We really need to focus in on this, because I certainly don't want to see you, your investigative work, censored, nor our work. So go ahead and please.
And correct us if we're wrong, but didn't they say that your video was inciting violence?
It's crazy what they said. They actually said that I was acting in a predatory manner and harassing.
Wow.
Yeah, and harassing, I guess, James Alefantis, who is the 49th most powerful man in Washington, D.C., according to GQ magazine, which makes him a public figure. He routinely visited Obama at the White House. Like, he's on record visiting the White House 5 times. And all he really has to his name is that he was the previous romantic partner to a guy who runs Media Matters for America, I believe. That's the name of that. And,
David Brock. Right.
And that he owns this pizza shop where Obama held his fundraiser and Hillary held her fundraiser. And it's just all very strange, you know. It's like, why are all of these Democrats all going to hold their fundraisers in this tiny little grimy pizza shop? And why is this guy the 49th most powerful man in Washington, and therefore one of the most powerful men in the world, when he has, like, nothing to his name?
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. You think about the number of congressmen and senators and other politicians from, you know, and former politicians and members of intelligence community. I mean, to be the 49th most powerful, I was thinking about this the other day, the 49th most powerful man in Washington, D.C., you have to be wielding some pretty heavy influence.
Uh-huh.
And this guy is just a restaurant owner and has some political connections. It does not make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, from the no pedophile context, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Now, if he is trafficking children for elites, then it suddenly makes a whole lot of sense. So, you know, this is the theory that we have. Obviously, it's we don't have the authority to really investigate this to the level that it needs to be investigated, and that's why we're simply trying to raise public awareness to hopefully have some kind of proper investigation done by the FBI or by, like, the state police or whatever. And that's all, really. That's all we want. We just want people to recognize, like, this is going on. And that's why I was going through the images from his Instagram account. And, you know, it's things like... it's constant references to... sexual imagery and children.
Yes.
Basically. And when you put those two together, it really does not look good. And that's all I was literally just doing, just flicking through each of the images one by one, and that is the video that YouTube just took right down. They don't want anyone to see it. And every time you see mainstream media reporting on how this is fake news and how it's all just made up hysteria, why won't they show any of these images? This is evidence taken directly from his own Instagram account, and they will not show it to the public.
Exactly right. And the absence of showing that evidence, you know, working as an investigator, both of us, and I've been an investigator for the last 30 years, and it's always you lead off with images like that, unless you are trying to hide something, unless you are trying to bury the story, unless you are trying to divert the attention. So that's a very interesting aspect indeed.
Yeah, they claim they, you know, debunk the stories, and they offer no proof, or even, and that's one of the key indicators that you said, or even offer the counter evidence or what's being alleged against these people, except mentioning that, you know, Pizzagate's some outlandish conspiracy from, you know, the deep parts of the web that accuse these people of being involved with children. They barely even mention that, but they always claim that they're debunking these stories when they put these articles out, but they never even really address the real issue. And I've seen that on the TV, from the late night talk shows to some of the lesser known mainstream media figures that are on in odd hours. They don't even, mm-hmm. I mean, they're just, it's so far away from the truth and any evidence. And like you said, they don't even show the allegations of what people like you and others are saying. It's very disturbing. And so you got a strike against your YouTube account.
Yeah.
When was that?
Like, I think it was yesterday, I think. Sorry, it all kind of merges into one for me.
The last few days, yeah.
Yeah, and the problem is that once I get three strikes, my entire channel gets taken down. I don't have a voice anymore.
That's right.
So, and the thing is that I can't make any more videos about Pizzagate now, because if I make two more videos and they both get strikes, which they probably will, because they have entire teams of people, like flagging the videos and saying, this is harassment, this is harassment, this is harassment. So then they're just like, okay, it's harassment, and mark it as harassment. And then I have to appeal, and then someone higher up will take a look at it, but.
See, we know the process as well, because we're getting hit with the same thing, but it's from a different area. Ours is malicious; those against us is malicious. But mm-hmm. aside from that, not to say yours wasn't, but anyway, I promise you, you will always have a voice through Hagman Report. I guarantee you always have a voice. No one will be able to quiet you, and that's our promise to you. We only have a little bit of time. I know, again, and I know you're going to be coming on with us at some point in the future for a longer period, but you did a couple of videos. Joe Biden, if you go to realitycalls.co, folks, subscribe to her channel. Subscribe to Tara's channel. Joe Biden, his behavior with that young girl. Representative Nancy Schaefer, I believe it was, right? Nancy Schaefer? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Schaefer, I think some people say it's called.
Yeah, so you've got, I mean, okay, I'm sorry, that's right, the mysterious death of Senator Nancy Schaefer, and then, of course, Biden's weird behavior. You've got a lot of different videos here. Mm-hmm. Well,
Yeah, those are the ones I'm just keeping up, that I feel I have the ability to keep up right now.
Right.
But I mean, someone could just go flag those and then I'll be down anyway.
You know, one thing you can try to do, this might be a conversation for off airs, but
yeah, maybe,
you know, create a few more channels that aren't monetized. And use just stay away from the term Pizzagate, maybe. I would go with Podesta emails or something, and just put this information out there and see how long it sticks, because it seems that they're targeting the monetized YouTube channels first.
My channel is not even monetized.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
No,
yeah, that's very telling then.
Yeah, I was looking at that. So, okay, where are you at right now with I believe 100% that this, what we're talking about, deals in child trafficking. And I'm sure, given your proximity to, well, given where you live, Jimmy Savile, you're familiar with that whole twisted stuff?
Yes. Yes. It's, horrendous.
Oh, goodness.
Basically, the BBC, which is actually, Americans may not know this, but it's actually funded by taxpayers. So we're forced to pay for the BBC, whether we like it or not. If you have a television in your house, you're forced to pay them. So it's basically a government propaganda machine. And they covered up for decades. They covered up this man being a paedophile. This man, Jimmy Savile, he molested young girls on stage with the cameras on. Okay. And he got away with it. He made large donations to children's charities in order to buy him access to children's hospitals. And he raped some of those, well, you know, hundreds have come forward to say he raped them, but it's probably thousands, you know.
It's amazing.
And the BBC repeatedly had people trying to report him, and they just didn't do anything.
Wow.
They said, no one wants to know. Police didn't want to investigate. So I just say this just to, for those people who think, oh, nothing like this could ever happen, it happens. It happens all over the world. It's happening in Australia. It's happening in Canada. Okay, 400 kids were just rescued from a child, pedophile child trafficking ring in Toronto. 400 kids in Toronto. So this happens. And unfortunately, like, a lot of us live in our own little bubbles and don't think that this kind of stuff happens, but it does. So,
getting back to what you were saying earlier, how much of a role do you believe that the Clinton Foundation, if not Hillary Clinton herself and or Bill Clinton, played in what we see taking place today with respect to what is known as Pizzagate?
Well, you know, Hillary Clinton funds a charity. The Clinton Foundation, from what I can tell, being a complete non-professional person at this, from what I can tell, her Clinton Foundation has donated $10,000 to Marina Abramovich, and they also donate huge amounts of money to a charity located right opposite Comet Ping Pong called Beyond Borders. And for some reason, it seems that internationally, many of these people who are suspected pedophiles have connections to Haiti. And Beyond Borders works directly with Haiti. So it all looks very suspicious.
Understood.
And of course, we know that Bill Clinton flew with, well, what's that guy's name?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, which is, he's a known pedophile and child trafficker.
Mm-hmm. Bill Lolita Express. 26 yeah. times, I believe, he flew on that.
And so did Hillary, and so did Huma.
I think six times.
So, you know, it's not unreasonable to... considering these people, they all are known... They all have friends and associates who are convicted pedophiles. Do you have any friends or associates? Like, ask yourself, do you have any friends or associates who are convicted pedophiles? Do you have multiple friends and associates who are convicted pedophiles? What kind of people do these... What kind of people do these people who are running our countries hang out with? And of course, just look at the artwork. You know, it's Tony Podesta, you know, another one of the most powerful men in Washington, D.C., and brother of John Podesta, head of Hillary's campaign. Dead kids' artwork, you know, dead kids' paintings, photos. even a sculpture of a of what looks like the replica of a serial killer's victim. So these people are obsessed with death. They're obsessed with kids. They like making innuendos about, you know, buying children and selling children and children being big business and stuff like this.
That's right.
It's really hard to ignore. You know, once you start looking at the stuff, I mean, you have a choice. You can either completely turn around and say, hey, I don't believe this and I'm just not going to go there. Or you keep looking and you can't stop.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very disturbing.
And one of the examples I want to make sure we mention in here is Dennis Hastert, who was the Speaker of the House, 51st Speaker of the House from 1999 to 2007. And he was a serial child molester. And this is just another example of, you know, the people in the political positions of power and, you know, ties to child abuse.
Yeah, apparently he was second in line to being president, you know. So this is the level, this is how high it goes up. We've got people in Australia saying that the ex-prime minister molested them when they were children. We've got people in the UK. We have one of our previous prime ministers involved in a paedophile scam. So to think that, you know, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Hillary's head of campaign isn't involved, why not?
Sure.
You know, it looks like a pattern that's going on across the world.
Yeah. And you talked about the artwork and pertaining to children. And one thing that caught my attention the same day that spirit cooking was discovered was a artwork piece that Tony Podesta had in his campaign office for Hillary Clinton, where it showed two men standing over a body with plates and forks in their hand. And they looked like they were, you know, going to be
cannibalism.
Cannibalism. And that ties in with spirit cooking, too. And if we can get your opinion on this, the Pope's statements this week about, well, he talked about fake news, but he, in an interesting way, he used the term, coprophilia, which is, it has to do with excrement. But this ties into the
sexual
cooking.
Connotation.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't that, isn't that exactly what the spirit cooking is?
Firstly, I'd like to say I have a lot of respect for Catholics. My dad's entire family is Catholic. And I don't mean any disrespect, but a lot of the things that the Pope has been saying recently, you know, this, we just can't take this. This is BS. And I know a lot of people obviously take it to heart when someone says something like that because they idolize this man. But you've got to listen to what he's saying and ask yourself, is this truth? Because it doesn't sound like truth to me. It sounds like someone who's working for the elites, basically.
Right.
And that's very disturbing because a lot of people take everything he says, you know, every word that comes out of his mouth is gospel, and you know, he's I feel like he's misleading us, really. So
Tara, I want to make sure I get this question in before our time is up. How you're doing such great work with respect to your investigative insight and offering insight into the pedophilia and the sickening stuff that's going on. How can our audience help you? How can we help you? Because we all have to stick together, and none of us wants to see you silenced ever. We want to see your you continue on with your investigation, but how can we best help you? Is there anything we can do, our audience, us? What do you suggest?
Firstly, I know it's probably a bit cliche, but we all have bills to pay. So by supporting us financially, for example, there's a website called Patreon, where you can look up a lot of independent citizen researchers, not just me, but also people like David Seaman. I know he's on there. And it basically, allows you to donate by month for some people or by video that they put out for other people. And what that means is that I'm not dependent on YouTube monetizing my videos and giving me ad revenue. Instead, I can go and post my videos on another platform. So I can go and post my videos on Vimeo or on Minds.com and then just send you guys the link to where it's hosted, and I still get paid regardless of what platform it's hosted on.
Right.
You know, I could even host it on like my own server and I'd still get paid. So that's one way to make for people who previously relied on YouTube income, like as their primary source of income,
mm-hmm.
they can actually become more independent and not be reliant on these liberal media sites that are basically owned by, like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like owned by like George Soros. So we need to be able to move away from them, and that's the number one step to being able to do that. Other than that, the next thing, like besides like sharing the Pizzagate. Sharing, if you come across good work on Pizzagate, share it. We need people to share it. We need eyes on it. And the last thing is start doing it yourself as well. Start publishing about it. Because the more of us there are out there, then the less risk we're all at.
Can you give us that website again that you talked about?
It's on her website. Okay. Pantheon, I believe it is.
Patreon, it's called, or yeah. Patreon.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay.
I threw you off.
There. Yeah, you threw me off. Thank you.
Well, we only have about a minute and a half left. And you're coming, if I have it right in here, you're coming back on the 29th of December. So we'll get a chance to get into this a lot more. And I'm sure we'll have a lot more information
yes.
by that time as well.
Yeah, looking at the clock, I just want to make sure, Tara, that you had done some investigation on the death of Representative Nancy Schaefer. What did you find out about that? I wanted to kind of ask you about that, but I'm not sure if we only have about a minute and a half left, but in a nutshell.
You know, the number one thing that I found out that no one else has spoken about is that the man who worked for Nancy Schaefer to produce the documentary on Child Protective Services taking children away from healthy families so that they could basically sell them to pedophiles, put it bluntly. The documentary was never aired. I contacted the man who created the documentary and asked him why it wasn't aired, and he refused to comment.
Ooh.
He had previously said that he was going to air it. He had previously promised that he was going to air it. And something made him change his mind.
Wow. Okay.
You think that was threatening? Something threatening? Or?
Absolutely. This man was desperate to get this information out previously, after Nancy's death, but suddenly everything went quiet. He doesn't want to talk about it. He's quite rude to anyone who asks about it. So something happened.
Wow. Tara, realitycalls.co, we will be supporting you and we will be behind you. You will always have a voice here at Hagman Report. Can't wait till you come back with us. Have a great night's sleep. Thank you for staying up so late.
Keep up the good work.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you. What a great young lady. What a fantastic researcher.
Absolutely.
Folks,
we need more people out there.
Look at her
doing investigative work, publishing their findings. And this needs to be a coordinated effort among regular everyday people. Otherwise, we're not going to get the information out there. When we come back, Dr. Vincent Pry will be our guest.
Yes.
Talking about
Peter
a number
Vincent
of
Pry.
Things. Peter Vincent Pry. Stay with us.